His name is wonderful. Jesus, our Lord. Brother Cochran, if you were not sitting near to Sister Louise, I would not have excused you from leaving here. But that's okay. When I grow up, I'd like to be like you.
Amen.
How many of you have seen the outer yard or premise of this building around?
Amen.
What did you see?
Beautiful
flowers and decorations. Did you see the one coming up on that step?
Yes.
What is that called? Joseph's Court? It's flourishing beautifully, great and grand. It's a part of our worship service from the outside and coming into the inside. Brother Jerry, we love you.
Amen.
We cherish you. We appreciate you. We thank you very much for all the voluntary work that you do.
Amen.
And we couldn't say more or do more than that. I miss Christopher today, but the band has done an excellent job.
Amen.
Where is everybody else? That's okay. But we appreciate you, Brother Columbus, James. And Enos and Paul and Doug and Keith. And the beautiful songbirds, the trio. Amen. And our dear, efficient accompanist, Sister Debbie Young. All because of the music department headed by Sister Lerna King. Amen. Pastor Shaw, it's good to see you again. God is good. Let us not forget that this afternoon at 3 o'clock, there is a memorial service here for Sister Pat Wilson. And we encourage all to be out to support one another as Sister Pat is memorialized. To all our visitors, regular and irregular, like Brother Doug, welcome.
Amen.
God bless you, sir. That unique voice of yours.
Amen.
It's great. Getting lots of amen. Anybody celebrated a birthday today or this week? Sister Pat, you celebrate a birthday? Oh, that's coming up. Sister Natalie Liverpool. Happy birthday to Sister Natalie Liverpool, brother. I want someone from here. Who is closest to the 4th of July? Okay, church, look at those hands. They're having barbecue. Let us all lead ourselves to their homes. It's going to be veggie burgers and veggie patties. And if there is any other, don't ask. Just pray and eat. Once you go to a Seventh-day Adventist home, don't ask if this meat is offered to idols. They are Seventh-day Adventists. So you just pray and eat. Amen?
Amen?
God will take care of the rest. We've been endeavoring to look at the book of Revelation over the past months. And ever so often we look at one of the books of Revelation. And today we're going to be looking at the book of Sardis. Sardis. Whatever is there, I did not put it there. Message of hope and message of rebuke. May God help us all to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let us pray. Father God, we open your word, seeking your blessing. Speak to our hearts. What we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us, O God. And we thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These are the seven churches of Revelation. Ephesus, if you do recall, was the loveless church. Jesus called forth for a renewal of your first love. And perhaps there are some of us here who fit into that category. And Jesus calls and challenges us to repent and return to our first work. Smyrna, a church without rebuke, the church under persecution. And Jesus identifies himself with that church and say, I'm going to only have you bear how much you can. And God knows every person's situation. Perhaps some of us are going through Smyrna, but be assured that the Lord will not allow you to be tempted or tested more than you are able to bear, but with each temptation he provides what? A way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Pergamos, after all that love and then persecution for standing for truth, became the compromising church. Time when Christianity became acceptable in secular places and by secular authority. Then we have Thyatira. The church finally became corrupt. So it's a descent from loving to loveless, then you are persecuted, you compromise, and then you become corrupt. Now, number five, the scripture says, you think you are alive, but you are dead. Not a good description, except it comes from the one who is the seven spirits of God, representing completeness and perfection. Sardis was a wealthy but wicked church, but it was still God's church. And he loved it so much that he challenges it to repent. Sardis was the ancient capital of Lydia, and we've been studying about Lydia in the Bible from our Sabbath school studies, and situated in a very fertile agricultural valley. It was the home of the famous Aesop. The name Sardis means escaping ones, or those who come out. A time when people were fed up with the church in Rome. Many scholars believe that this church symbolically represents the Reformation period from about 1517 AD to 1750, what is known as the Dark Ages. It was a time of Luther's 95 Theses being nailed to the Wittenberg church door in Germany. There was a church, But Jesus says the church is dead. It carries his name, but not his spirit. It was the time of the Augsburg Confession, the 39 articles in Hildeburg. It was a time when the remnant was crying out for a return of the church in the early days of Christianity. Jude, just before Revelation, spoke of those in the church who, for all intents and purposes, would call themselves Christians and would be amongst the church gatherings. He described them as empty shells, looking good on the outside, but no real conviction to live for the Lord. Jude 12, these are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Not a pleasant description. Such is the church in Sardis. Instead of these imitation Christians being in the minority, by the time of Sardis, they had taken over the church. They were now heads of boards, perhaps even pastors, elders, deacons. They were the church. On the outside, Jesus says, you look good, you have a good name. But inside, he who alone knows the church says, it was dead. Matthew 23, 27 to 28 says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Yet Jesus did not give up on Sardis. Praise the Lord. I have hope. I have assurance that if Jesus described Sardis as dead and did not give up, he will not give up on me. Hallelujah. For he is the resurrection and the dead. And he's capable of raising that which is dead to life again and life forevermore. Sardis was the church of dead orthodoxy, doing everything according to tradition. Orthodoxy, that is, conforming to established teaching. Sardis was the church where, yes, Father, that is true, was common. They searched not the books because the books were not available. The Bible was not to be read by the commoner. So whatever the priest says, that was it until Martin Luther came on the scene. And so we look at he who spoke to the churches. There's a special reason why God has written his name everywhere. It says, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, say this. The seven spirits of God and the seven stars. As I went through the study, I wonder, why did God stamp his identity almost everywhere? And so I began to look into the Bible in the concordance for the word seven. And it's everywhere, numberless times, everywhere. It's like God is making a seal of his presence. So the seven spirits of God is completeness. Among the seven stars, God so loved the world. And he says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive. But this Spirit of God says, you are dead. Verse 2, wake up and strengthen the things which remain. So it's a name that we carry. It's a name that Sardis carry. It's a name of this church. A good reputation outwardly, but inwardly, the seven spirits says, you are dead. What I do like about this, as I said, God was writing his name everywhere for the church to know that he owns the whole world. So in Luke 11 and verse 26, we find the word, then goes he and takes to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And because God was writing his name everywhere as his identity, the devil was seeking to counterfeit by writing his identity elsewhere. So when the devil possesses somebody and Jesus casts that person out, if the person does not hold steadfast to Jesus, the devil in his camouflage completeness brings along seven other spirits, wicked or more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So when the seven spirits of God, God's completeness speaks to us, we must heed his warning, heed his caution, heed his rebuke and repent so that it shall be all well with our souls. Revelation 1 verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be to you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Seven, completeness. That's why God gave us the Sabbath. Amen? Amen. Revelation 3:1, we just read that. Revelation 4:5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunder and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. God is placing the number seven at strategic points in his word, strategic places in the spoken word, as to identify himself as the true and living God. Revelation 5:6, and I beheld, and see in the middle of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the middle of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Seven is not just a numerical number, but it's a number of quality that implies in every respect perfection. So why do we call ourselves Seventh-day Adventist? Because we want to identify with the seven spirits of God. We want to identify with the Sabbath as a part of God's identity. Among all the commandments, we told the fourth commandment, which denotes the seventh, is the highlight of God's representation on earth. 7 days, and there are lots of references, as I said. 7 days. 7 days, the people were to fast for during Esther's time. 7 days mourning for Jacob lasted, according to Genesis 50 and verse 10. Noah in the ark before the great flood, 7 days, another stamp of God. Noah remains in the ark after sending forth the dove, 7 days, another stamp of God. Paul stays at Petuloi in Acts 28 and verse 14, another stamp of God. Paul waits at Tyre, Acts 21 and verse 4, 7 days, another stamp of God. Saul, directed by Samuel to stay at Gilgal awaiting the prophet's command, 1 Samuel 10:8. 7 days, another stamp of God. And everything and everywhere as you search the word of God, you find God marking his identity. 7 days, 7 days, seven spirits of God. The elders at Jabesh Gilead asked for the truce of 7 days. The feast of Ahasuerus continued for 7 days. The feast of the tabernacle for the Passover lasted for 7 days. The firstborn of flocks and sheep must remain with their mothers 7 days, according to Exodus 22:30, before they can be sacrificed. God's stamp on the flock. The Israelites encircled Jericho how many days? 7 days. The Passover, according to Exodus 12 and verse 15, lasted 7 days. So when you came down to Revelation, any Jewish man or woman, boy or girl, knows that when they read the seven spirits says it, it is coming from Jehovah God, who stamps himself from Genesis onto the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Seven. Abraham gives Abimelech seven lambs. Seven. Elijah's servant looked seven times for the appearance of rain, as in 1 Kings 18 and verse 43. It says, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Naaman was required to wash in the Jordan how many times? Mark of God. Rams and bullocks to the number of required in sacrifices according to Leviticus 23 and verse 18. I'll read. And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year, and one bullock, two rams, and they shall be a burnt offering to you. So when God seems to capitalize on the word seven as his mark, as his stamp, and during the week as we studied the end time prophecies, we are learning that the mark of the beast is a false Sabbath, which is Sunday. But the true seal of God is the 7 day Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Balaam and Balak. Balaam said to Balak, build me here seven altars and prepare me here seven oxen and seven rams. In 1 Chronicles 15:26, it says, and it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. Not six, not eight, not five, not four, but seven. That's the stamp of God. Seven angels with seven trumpets, seven chamberlains at the court of Ahasuerus. Seven congregations in Asia, of which Sardis is one. Seven counselors in the court of Artaxerxes. Seven cows and 7 ears of grain in Pharaoh's vision that Joseph captured as well. Seven eyes of the Lord, seven golden lampstands, seven golden vials, seven heads and seven crowns, seven horns and seven eyes. Revelation 17:10, seven kings, seven lamps, and on it goes. So, whatever Sardis is listening to, God is making it absolutely clear, beyond the shadow of a doubt. I am God. I am Jehovah. I am Creator. So listen to what I say, and that such must Sardis listen. And so, my brothers and sisters, he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars speaks to Sardis. As we have said before, even the word is a symbol of completion and perfection. The Lord rested on the seventh day. And I apologize not to be a Seventh Adventist. During the week, I read this, and I want to share it with you today. It says this: Satan's objective is to lead and control every Christian in the world. But before he does that, he has a special sequence against the children of God because of their name. What is your name? Seventh-day Adventist. And why do you have that name? Because it was given to you by God. Here it is. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 223 and 224. The name Seventh-day Adventist carries the true features of our faith in front and will convict the inquiring mind. Like an arrow from the Lord's quiver, it will wound the transgressors of God's law and will lead to repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Testimonies, Volume 1, page 223. So, am I proud to be a Seventh Adventist? You bet I am. Am I carrying tremendous obligations as a Christian being a Seventh Adventist? Yes, I am. But in it all, God is in control. We are Seventh-day Adventists. Are we ashamed of our name? We answer, no, no, we are not. It is the name the Lord has given us. It points out the truth that is to be the test of the churches. Selected Messages, Book 2, page 384. One more. We are Seventh-day Adventists, and of this name we are never to be ashamed. As a people, we must take a firm stand for truth and righteousness. Thus we shall glorify God. We are to be delivered from dangers, not ensnared and corrupted by them. That this may be, we must look ever to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Selected Messages, page 384, Book 2. So, God even stamps his church with a part of his identity, seven. And we are never to be ashamed, never to be bashful about it, but to stand firm and strong that he who identifies himself with the word seven has bequeathed it to a denomination on earth to carry that name through, because there is coming a time when it's either the seal of God, the seventh day, or the mark of the beast, the first day. Which one will you choose? And so, Sardis, here's the word, the seven spirits of God. And they know that it's from Jehovah himself. Therefore, we can conclude with accuracy that the Lord is holding this church responsible for what he says. And verse 3, I know your works. I know you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. The spirit of the seven spirits of God says that. The name of the church is Sardis. Every Christian town knew the name of this church. The church was very active and very busy. And if anyone came by to visit, they would have sworn that this was the best church in town. It fooled itself that it was alive. Pastors probably referred to their people who are moving into the city to the church at Sardis. When you go into Asia Minor, make sure you go to Sardis. They're alive. They're doing things. But the seven spirits says, no, no, no. They are dead. Why the contrast? Why the difference? Sardis has a good name. They're one of the largest churches in town, by the way, Pastor. They have money. They have outreaches. They had missions. They had concerts. They had a large staff, probably a pastor for every group in the church. Everyone thought that the church of Sardis was wonderful, except Jesus. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? And the Lord looks deep into the heart of Sardis. And for all that activity and liveliness, he saw dead people.'" The Holy Ghost, baptized in the Spirit, apostles and prophets, movers and shakers, congregation Sardis. What sort of thing is happening now? In Christ, you are judged to be dead. The word perfect means finished or complete. Verse 2. And these folks in Sardis, they had a name among men, but not before the Lord. So I challenge myself and I challenge all of us. Be cautious of what name you carry, that you carry it well in the name of the Lord. For God sees the inner man, not only the outward, and he looks therein for quality of life and situation. Having a name in the Christian community is not the same as having a name before the Lord. Having all the pastors in the city or even in our church know us by name is not the same as being well-pleasing to the Lord. We often make the mistake of thinking that we can earn God's favor. Maybe it's the favors of others. At least we can earn it by works. The reality is that when we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, works are just the outflow of that relationship. So we don't do to merit God's favor, but because God's Spirit dwells in us, we overflow with generosity and goodness and kindness and love. And we are not concerned with who is watching, but that God is glorified. Isaiah 29 and verse 13 says, "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these peoples draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and the fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men." I want to say, thank God, there's no Sardian here today. Nobody in this church belongs to Sardis. And if you do, repent. Just repent. This is the result of being a man pleaser, that Sardis, instead of a God pleaser. This kind of person and even this kind of church may look wonderful on the outside, but when the Lord looks over it, our works are found imperfect and incomplete. That is why he emphasized the word seven, perfect and completeness. But when he looks at the church, he sees incompleteness. When we begin to trust in anything other than the Lord, we are found wanting. The Lord exhorts Sardis to watch and strengthen that which they have because it's about to die. There seems to be a flicker of hope, Brother Sigini, for Sardis. For be told, verse 3, "Do you remember how you received and heard the good news of salvation?" 1 Corinthians 2, 1-6. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And as a people, that's our goal, that's our desire, that's our passion, that's our obsession, that's our intention, that's our everything. Jesus and him crucified. Amen? "I was with you in weakness," verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 2, "in fear and in much trembling," verse 4, "and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words and human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Do you remember how you received the message of salvation as a babe? with such simplicity and childlike faith, Sardis, then live it out in your life. Do you remember how simple it was? Yes, hold on to your first love. Do you remember that with childlike faith you watch and wait for his return? Keep on watching. Jesus is coming soon. Many of us have gotten preoccupied with living life and doing church. We don't want him to return right now. One commentator said that we can tell the spiritual condition of a person by how they respond to the Lord's return. Do you want the Lord to come today or after you get married? Do you want the Lord to come today or after you get that big house? Or after your child gets married? Maybe not you. But there are things that indirectly, in a very subtle manner, occupy our minds. That if Jesus should come, we say, not today, Lord. Please go back. Not today. My wife reminds me every now and then, as an early Christian, she heard about me. I don't know how that happens, but she said she heard about me. And what did she hear? That two other friends and I were not planning to get married because Jesus is coming soon. I still want Jesus to come today. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all things be counted as naught in your lovely presence. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come today and all my troubles will be over. Bills will be over. Concerns about security will be over. When I drive on the freeway or drive elsewhere at night, Jesus, come soon so that human trafficking will be over. Come quickly, Lord, that there'll be no more refugees. Come, Lord Jesus, there'll be no more hunger and pain and heartache and death and dying and crying. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And he says to Sardis, amongst all your death and false presentations, there is a small group still existing. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. And somebody be brave enough to read it for us. Revelation 3 and verse 4. Amen. Amen. So even in Sardis, there is a R-E-M-N-A-N-T, remnant. Even in this wicked world today, there is a remnant. There is a small group of people. Even in this Sardis that is dead, the seven spirits of God saw a group of people that have not bowed, as it were, their heads to Baal. There is a remnant, brothers and sisters, and it is not by accident that we often take on that description as the remnant of God. For the dragon is wrath with the woman, Revelation 12 and verse 17, and he's out to make war with the remnant of our seed who does what? Keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Are you keeping the commandments of God? Do you have the faith of Jesus? Then you are, by his description, the remnant. So let's move away from Sardis the dead to the remnant that is still alive. Amen? Amen. There are always a few small, little, insignificant remnant who will be faithful to the end. And as I stand here today, I challenge Ypsilanti and those on the airways, amidst all the chaos, amidst all the trouble, amidst all the lies and fake news and whatever else is taking place, there is a faithful few who will stand for truth and righteousness. May that faithful few be you. May that faithful few be us. The white garments of heaven have always been reserved for a minority group. And may that group be you. The road to heaven is not narrow to exclude people. It is narrow because few people travel in it. Once again, I find it necessary to quote 1 John 5:5. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So that faithful remnant believe in Jesus as the Son of God, believe in his perfection of sacrifice on Calvary, believe in the perfection of his ministry in heavens, and believe that someday soon he is coming back. Matthew 10 and verse 32 and 33 says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess. And Sardis had confessions of the few. Him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. It is Jesus who makes us acceptable. Amen? It is Jesus who makes us pleasing and pleasant to the Father in heaven. And as we have said in 2 Peter 2, 3 and 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is hope even for Sardis. The dead church can come alive in Jesus Christ and live forevermore. I believe that all mankind names are written in the book of life. When Jesus forms us in our mother's womb, he writes our name in the book of life, and only we by choice can take that name away. Keep your name there by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Lift him up as your Lord. Declare him as your God, the perfect one, whose identity is stamped in your heart as a seal, the seventh day of the Sabbath, or the seven-day Sabbath, and let God be glorified. That is why children that die young one day will be resurrected by the Lord and presented again back to their parents. I believe it. I believe it. How about you? Today, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or has sin entered the camp separating you from the Lord? Will the Lord have to blot you out? Or will you accept his forgiveness and say, I accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord? Today is the day of reckoning. God calls forth a small group of people, and by vision and prophecy, it will grow and grow and grow, not forsaking the seventh identity or the seven spirits of God's call. And it will become into a great mountain, symbolic of the stone that hit the image of Daniel 2. And it will occupy the whole earth. And this group of people that we call Seventh-day Adventists, who began as a small little group after the great disappointment in 1844, is in 2018 over 25 million around the world. And growing, and growing, and growing. Brothers and sisters, you and I have nothing to be ashamed of. Let Sardis be the fake church. Let Sardis be the dead church. But let that little remnant be you and I. Let that little church rise to the challenge called by the Spirit of God to declare that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Yes, there is coming a time when Sardis will be divided into two. It's going to be Sardis dead or the little group within that is alive. Which side will you be on? Will you choose the side that the Spirit of God says he stands with and that he calls forth to repent? Or will you choose to go along in nominal secular Christianity, just living for self and for your personal security, rather than living for Jesus and his soon coming? Whose side are you going to be on? The message concluded, he that is here to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In the quietness of the Spirit of God, are you hearing that voice? Or are you still troubled by the things of this world? Jesus says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things of this life that you care about will be given to you according to his will. If you can control it, if you can be a true manager. Do you have a relationship with the Lord this day? Do you hear what he's calling upon you to say and to do this morning? Come out of Sardis. Be in the little group. Be blessed not only now or tomorrow, but stay blessed until he comes. I'm happy today that Jesus wants me out of Sardis. And I'm happy today that he has done it all for me on Calvary's cross. I'm happy today that Jesus, who is the completion of God by the description of the seven spirits, says to me, you don't have to stay dead. Here is an opportunity for being alive. I once was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. And you, accepting me as your personal Savior, can live forevermore as well. May God bless each one of you here today. No more Sardis, always remnant, living the life that counts as Seventh-day Adventist Christians until we see him for ourselves. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father God, you have identified the seven churches of Revelation 3, and the one that we seek to study today is Sardis. To speak to them, you have identified yourself as the seven spirits of God that is in control of the seven stars. Oh God, you have described Sardis as dead when they thought that they were alive. If we have been fooling ourselves, oh God, have mercy. And just don't let us say dead, but do the things that are necessary to be alive. And so, Father, we accept Jesus today as our sacrifice. From all sins, known and unknown, we declare that Jesus' sacrifice is complete to wash away all our iniquity. And Lord, we pray that you baptize us with the same Spirit that characterized the remnant, the little group in Sardis, and that we shall be faithful not only today but forever, that we shall never be ashamed of the word or the name Seventh-day Adventist, but go forth to proclaim Jesus as Lord. Lift him higher, until the whole world shall be belted with the knowledge of his saving grace, and as many as possible give their lives to him before it is too late. Bless everyone sitting in my presence today. May everyone give their life to Jesus anew. And when you come, may every one of us' name be in the book of life and to live with you forevermore. This we ask in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen. Amen.